Hello, welcome to Canes, Banes and Automobiles, episode 6, the final episode. We're all here, so we're actually all Skyping in onto one conversation, so there might be some overlaps and there might be some gaps, but please forgive us for that. So here we've got, obviously we've got Stan.
Hello, I'm here again.
We've got Dave.
Hello, is it me you're looking for?
Dave sounds like he's decided to put his PC in one room.
He's put a pillow in his head.
We've got Ad, who's locked in a conservatory by his wife.
Oh, what's that?
We've got you, who is locked in the conservatory by his wife.
That's not together stronger.
That wasn't about marriage, though, was it, that slogan?
Depends on the interpretation, Mike.
Yeah.
And we've got Mike live from a dogfighting school in Madrid.
Yeah, hello. I think it is a dog. I think there's just some dog going out down the street, so sorry if you can hear some dogs.
Rustling some bins.
Yeah, dogfighting. Rustling some bins, but... Yeah, hello.
So we're recording this the day after the Euro 2016 final, so we'll come to that in a minute. But of course, we should probably start with our what's become a very regular feature, what we've noticed this week. And this will include the final episode of Stan looking at bulls. Mike, what have you noticed this week?
I've got a comment to make about the Wales semi-final. Because I was watching it over here in Spain, and I was surprised to learn that the Spanish lot seemed to be all supporting Portugal, even though I thought they would kind of see them as local rivals, like they do France. But no one could support Wales at all, I was hanging out with, even though I had the little dinosaur and tried to get everyone into Wales. But a bit of a surprise, that.
Is it,
I thought there'd be a bit more Welsh support.
Do they hate Bale?
They got Bale and Ronaldo in that match, didn't they? From Madrid, they kind of would favour Bale because he's a bit more likeable out of those two, but no.
Maybe they're just jealous of the Welsh savvy.
I don't know, I think it's just because they're kind of neighbours, but that rule doesn't seem to apply for like France, who they'd probably want to lose. And then I thought, should we be supporting Wales more because we're English and they're our neighbours?
Yeah, I'm not sure you get too many Welsh support in English.
That's right.
No. But it's weird, isn't it? Because it's never usually this way around where Wales have done all right.
True.
I always support England in tournaments.
Mm, but only because you have to.
And you're half English.
Yeah, you sound very
usually
English. You sound like you're the most well-spoken Welshman from the Valleys, Dave. So you should support England.
Very true.
And you do.
I do.
Yes, that's what I've noticed. The strange, surprising allegiance between Portugal and Spain and not supporting the underdogs, which I thought they maybe should. Were Wales the underdogs, Dave? I'm not sure.
I think they were.
Surely, yeah.
I think we were the people's choice, but also the underdogs.
Which people?
People who don't like dreadful, boring football.
Well, it wasn't the best game in the world.
It wasn't. Portugal dragged it down to their level.
And then 1-2-0.
And then won, yeah. Scored more goals. That's what next. Although someone else must admit something about that match as well.
Let's go. Well, let's see, Dave Clare. What did you, keep it a bit because we're going to go into Wales a bit more detail later. What have you noticed this week, Dave?
I'm not really sure. I don't really notice much. I just enjoyed the Wales game.
Have you even been watching any football, Dave?
I watched Wales versus Portugal, and actually, technically, since our last show, I've also watched Wales versus Belgium.
But
I watched those two games.
As I said, we're coming on to Wales in a bit. What have you noticed this week? You must have noticed something funny.
Anything in your actual life, Dave, you noticed?
That might be good.
Probably signed Marvin Sordell, that's about it.
Exciting
time. I think that's what you noticed.
Didn't Marvin Sordell play at the Olympics?
He did.
Yep.
Right, let's move on from this embarrassment.
Let's move on.
Yeah, quickly. Stan, you come last. Ad, what have you noticed this week?
Well, Chris, I've noticed that Germany aren't as good at penalties as they've led us to believe. But luckily, Italy were far too concerned with showboating than actually wanting to score a goal or get a shot on target.
That run-up was hilarious.
Well, I know you're Pella and Zaza.
Zaza's is the worst penalty I think I've ever seen.
And yeah, I've seen something him on just to do that is outrageous, really, isn't it?
If he was still doing his warm-up, up to the ball, running up to it, and then when he boats it into Rosetta, I feel like he should have just continued his warm-up and jogged off out the stadium in shape.
He reminded me of, an equestrian horse, just prancing. He just pranced
He's got the nickname Lady Zaza now, isn't he? Because it looks like a little dance routine.
Oh, yeah. She dances like that, doesn't she, Lady Gaga?
Before she takes a penalty.
Yeah, And she,
isn't she a bit? Isn't she a bit Italian as well?
Is she what?
Isn't she a bit Italian as well?
Maybe she is. Maybe she. Yeah, she's got a real surname. It's a bit Italian, isn't it?
Mm.
She is part Italian.
But you wouldn't trust her with
it. Going back to that penalty shootout, you notice that a lot more in the tournaments they rely on the defender just smacking it as hard as they can, which is a brilliant old school tactic. I've noticed smacking it down the middle because the keeper's going to dive.
They should do that. I thought they were going to clamp down on the kind of jittery relic thing this tournament, but no.
No one's really done it. It's been close. You have to continue your movement. That's the rule. So you can kind of do, you can stutter, but as long as it's like in movement, you're okay.
As long as the whole penalty is stuttery.
As long as you don't stop. Like, you can kind of, as long as your movement keeps continuing. So you can slow down the pace of your run.
So you can run really slowly, like in slow motion, as long as you do that the whole way.
And of course the other penalty, Pella, and it's, I'm gonna chip your gesture to Neuer, only just to smash it wide. To make matters worse, on social media, there's actually a clip going around with his girlfriend in the crowd, saying something to someone next to him after the penalty's been missed. And there's been supposedly a rough translation of Hurdjieff saying, "I knew it, he's an arsehole." what I wonder is whether the expletive has become stronger since she's found out that Pella's going to kill his career and move to China.
He's gone, isn't he?
Yeah,
that's gone today.
Maybe that's why he's moving. Maybe that's why he's moving, because that vulgar response.
Have you seen the kit of his new team?
Is it orange, Dave?
Must be pink.
What colour is it, Dave?
Orange.
What shade of orange is it?
Blackpool orange.
Okay, Blackpool orange.
Yeah, there you go.
That blood orange.
See, Dave, you have noticed something in football this week.
Yeah, I actually realised. I noticed that Pella's terrible transfer, but at that point, the moment had passed.
I'm glad you told us about that, Colm, wasn't it?
That's important.
There you go.
So, Chris, what have you noticed this week?
Well, that always for a final on TV, the pundits will be way smarter, as if it's like sort of a posh dinner or a wedding. So normally, like, they're quite casual, but yesterday, old Lineker and that lot, because I wasn't one of the Brexit lot who watched ITV, on BBC they had their suits, very posh suits and shirts, ties on, and normally they're sort of a bit more cash, but like, come final night, they're not even in the stadium, but there they are all dolled up.
Nice. Who was commentating?
Commentating?
I mean, who was in the studio?
Rio.
Henri?
Yeah. Was it Shearer? It must have been.
And then the car.
I think the game was so boring, it just numbed our mind to what was going on.
Yeah, it's possible.
They had the big moth problem, didn't they?
I wonder who was going to bring up the moths. I mean, that was just a powerful scene. I mean, really dominated the game.
Haunted afterwards, I thought. When they won and they spray all that little confetti, that must have really annoyed them. I thought they had moths. It was just moth-shaped things, except green and red all over the place.
Isn't it weird when you smash a wasp and it turns into dust?
Wasp?
A wasp?
A wasp?
No, sorry, a moth.
I haven't seen a moth for about 10 years.
Let alone smashed one.
When did you smash a moth?
Just today. It just turns into dust.
Probably like any weak creature would.
Yeah, just dust. Just disappear. Snorted it.
Stan, please do tell us what you've noticed about balls. Final episode. You need a good roundup on this.
A lot less balls were thrown on the pitch, but the ball did pop yesterday. I don't know if you noticed, the second half, the ball did actually pop. Gatterberg told him to get the ball off, and the ball had popped during the game. And that's about the third or fourth ball that's actually popped during the tournament. Which is
did the inside bit of that come out, like a little disease or something? and then you kick it, it doesn't roll properly.
Yeah, well, no, it just popped. It was just awful. Oh. I noticed the balls, I've got to say, after this tournament, I'd say the balls have been shit. They've been really bad.
But there's been loads of them.
There's been too many balls on the pitch, and then there's been poor quality balls. Like, the air pressure seems to go in on the balls, and they pop.
You prefer just one or two balls, but a better quality.
A good quality Mitre Delta.
old school.
So do you think this is the way tournaments are heading now? We're going to see loads of balls?
Well, it depends on the ball boys and what UEFA and FIFA may have different ideas on the balls.
I mean, surely the Russian ball boys will be nicking them and flogging them, won't they?
Oh, I mean, anything. It depends what they put on the balls. Gold leaf, maybe.
one of the wildest stereotypes of Russian ball boys I've ever heard. They enjoy nicking gold leaf football.
is it, Is that a stereotype?
Never heard that.
Well,
if you looked on eBay now, there won't be anyone selling official match balls, will there? Because they're weak. But if they're gold leaf and a ten a penny, lots of balls.
There we go. So there, that's Stan, who's taking you through through his very important ball watch. You've been staring at balls for a month now, Stan. Do you think you'll carry on after the Euros are finished? Or are you staring at balls days done?
I mean, I won't start looking at balls again until they turn to that kind of salmon-coloured ball around Christmas. That's always a good tonic.
There we go. Okay, so there we are, the last, hopefully ever, episode of Stan staring at balls. Are we going to give it a round of applause or not bother?
No.
Okay, so no.
He's told us.
He told us
about penalties. You don't listen to your own cousin. Although I would like to say that I was, going back to the moth thing very quickly, I was very impressed with the way that Twitter reacted to it so quick. There was around 50-plus parody accounts by half-time.
Yeah, it's too passé now. Everyone's got a Twitter account.
Yeah.
Was it just one moth? I couldn't really see that.
No, loads, hundreds of them.
Yeah, it was a big moth.
They left the...
It's on the bridge of his nose.
They left
that,
the...
Yeah, just a picture of it. No,
but they left the stadium lights on overnight.
It was like he was sucking up his tears, I thought. Sucking up his tears of having to go off.
Because before the game, they're like, oh, there's been a big moth problem, because they left the stadium lights on overnight. And they're currently working out a way of getting rid of them before the game.
Oh, difficult job.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you do that. Just put a brighter light somewhere else, or...
Put the Eiffel Tower on, couldn't they? Could have put that on.
Good thinking.
A load of Venus flytraps.
Venus flytraps, gosh. You didn't see many of those, do you? Do they like moths?
Yes.
I
didn't know
all around the ground as you enter.
Dave's busy laughing at his own gag there.
Loves it.
Okay. There we go. That's what we've noticed this week. So we should probably move on quickly to the quarterfinals and semis in general before looking at the final. Dave, probably the best place for you to talk about unrealistic expectation for Wales from now on, because you've got expectation to meet. But the quarterfinals was a good ride. Semis, enjoyable. Go on, go.
Well, I was just unrealistic expectations. I think the World Cup is also achievable now, because Wales' qualifying group's bloody awful. So I think that it's not unrealistic that we'll qualify for the World Cup as well. In the semi-final, obviously played Belgium. First 15 minutes.
You didn't play them in the semi-final, Dave.
Quarters, Dave.
Yeah, you wish it was a semi-final, Dave.
Well, we got... Okay, shut up. Anyway, Belgium, first 15 minutes, looking, to be honest, like we're going to get a bit of a shellacking, Belgium all over us, winning 1-0, and then, basically, we turned it around. Excellent bit of set-piece work from on the corner, all the four players surrounding Ashley Williams, and when the ball comes in, they all run in separate directions, the defence follows them, leaving Williams on his own, so with a nice bit of ball to pick up, then scores a goal. And from that point onwards, the Belgians looked a bit nervous once we equalised. Looked like they weren't happy. Then, yeah, bloody won, didn't we? How long's the goal before?
Yeah, I've got to say, Kanu's goal was up there. It was pretty brilliant.
Well, if you believe the very, very biased goal, the biased goal competition on the BBC, goal of the tournament, allegedly, which it definitely wasn't, but it was still a very good goal.
I think it was goal of
Shaqiri.
Yeah, Shaqiri's the best. But, what was on the tournament? Was it just the Kanu one? Was there any others that were used?
That
any of the Welsh ones, I think, really.
No. It was like Poyet was in it from the opener, and Modric's excellent goal. That was good.
I thought that late header was a bit underrated as well. That was pretty good. Not up there, but a nice effort.
The one against Wales?
What, Vokes?
No, the goal against Wales. Did Ronaldo's header?
No, I think, yeah. And that was a decent one. Yeah, Ronaldo one, yeah. Yeah, it was good. I like powerful headers as well. But no, I suppose Shaqiri's the best one to talk. Sorry, Dave, you're talking about Wales and I'm just talking about a header against you.
Then, well, it leads nicely on to the semi-final.
Semi-final wasn't a great game, unfortunately. I think, it has to be said, it was really one moment of outstanding play from one of the world's best players. Yeah, a bullet header, absolutely unstoppable. Second goal was a bit fucking spawning. I think it was a scuffed shot and Nani kind of bumbled onto it. Apart from that, there wasn't much to separate the two teams. It was a very close game, wasn't particularly exciting. But Portugal won, fair play. You can't argue about that.
And you got knocked out by the winners.
Yeah, it's the only game they won in 90 minutes of the tournament, wasn't it?
Yep. Same with England.
Yeah, against you. Very Very true, very true. You played pretty decent in alternate matches, didn't you, more or less, Wales?
Then we're
really boring in the other ones.
Yeah, that's very true. Overall, wasn't a bad tournament of Wales, I think.
Oh, no, of course, yeah.
Hopefully, this is the start of the tournament, I would have picked a handoff, so.
Yeah, definitely did well.
I have to say that Wales-Belgium match actually was, for me, the game of the tournament.
Got us up there.
Controversial.
It's good.
Yeah.
I thought it was really entertaining, end-to-end goals, and a lot of heart from both.
Yeah, and Belgium-Hungary. Belgium-Hungary before was also pretty entertaining, and Hungary, even though they're a bit rubbish, were still going at it, even though they got tonked, but it was still pretty entertaining.
Quarterfinals the second half of quarterfinals were really good, I thought. In fact, once you got to the second half of the last 16 games, I thought it hotted up a bit in that tournament. Got a game out, and then the semi-finals were okay as well. Yeah, it ended up alright once you got out of that group bit where everyone was cautious.
And they just hit the anti-climax.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think finals are always pretty cagey, though, aren't they? They're never, there's so much at stake. You don't really get a tonkin or a team really going at it in the final because they're not going to risk it.
No, the final's different, though, isn't it? It's a bit cagey.
Portugal have been pretty dismal throughout in terms of watchability. So you knew they weren't exactly going to turn it up on for the final either.
I think Portugal played better once Ronaldo went off. I almost feel as if Ronaldo insists that everything goes through him, which is not the way to run a team, really. But they won in the end.
Possibly, yeah. Well, that's
here, Mr. Captain, betting hindsight. I was saying that with about 10 minutes ago, it's going to be 1-0 Portugal goal in extra time.
No one believes you then,
Ad. I liked the new string to the bow for Ronaldo, which is the comical man on the sideline. He knocked over his manager, slapped a couple of his own players.
I hated that. I'd be really annoyed by that, because he's proper undermining the manager, isn't he?
Well, at work, whatever it was.
He was pointing out his watch like Alex Ferguson. Learned some tips, eh?
I'd love to learn how much he cried throughout that match, though. Even before the final whistle as well, he's weeping pretty much.
I'd love to know how much out of a pint glass he's cried in the entire tournament.
Would you?
Yeah, just for science.
I think he only cried in the final, didn't he?
No, he must have cried at other points when he was under pressure after Iceland or something, after some time in the group stages. And also he's probably missing his Moroccan lover, isn't he, say?
Hang on.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. I'll wait till his memoirs come out for the clarification.
Any possible clarification?
There's been far more slanderous things said on this speak than Ronaldo has a Moroccan lover.
No, stop it! Don't say it again!
Hold on, you've got to remember, Mike said Moroccan lover. He didn't say...
Hang on, don't you make it worse!
You could be someone in affairs.
Anyway, sorry Dave, I had to steal your catchphrase there.
Go for it, mate. Go for it.
So final, France played Portugal, boring game, Portugal won. Right, moving on. And David Guetta turned up at the beginning.
David Guetta, I won't miss not seeing him.
What I love about David Guetta, actually, I shared this with Chris earlier, something I read on the internet, is that before the tournament, there was a big concert, 83,000 attendance, to see David Guetta and Will.i.am. And the French newspapers were pretty critical of Guetta and Will.i.am's performance. Le Disaster was a headline used. Le Maire was another one, and David Guetta just described it as unforgettable.
Was one of the headlines Le Disaster, did you say?
Yes, Le Disaster.
I'd have preferred it better if it was Les Disaster.
Oh,
100% negative.
Les Dennis.
Les Disaster sounds like a wrestler.
Good French day, Dave. I didn't even have to say what it meant.
Okay, so we were going to go on to some a bit of a roundup now. What we thought of the Euros altogether. So we'll go round. Mike, what will you miss the most about the Euros?
I put a general thing and a very specific thing. Generally, having lots of football on all the time, I'll miss. But very specifically in games, I'll miss counting down to kick off.
Brilliant. That was fantastic.
I love that. I rate it alongside my all-time favourite gimmick, which is when they have the ball on like a pedestal and then the team come out and then the ref picks the ball up and takes it.
Were they not doing that still this time?
They weren't, no. My kids are keen on that, hoping they do it. But if they put that together with a countdown in the future, I know it's a bit American, but I think it's good. Just a bit of that, and getting the crowd to count down to a kickoff. Very good. I miss that. Well, sometimes they creep in these things to our own game, don't they? The free kick spray and stuff. But I can't imagine like Preston Screen putting that on a 10 second countdown.
Preston are playing MK Dons in 10.
And something would wake up a scream, will they? And it would just have to be a guy saying 10.
Holding up a piece of paper.
In the wind and rain.
Stan, what will you miss the most?
Well, personally, it was actually nice going to the tournament. The atmosphere of the games, the people. I mean, it was great. I think it was patchy. I think it was certainly a patchy tournament, but there were some really good standout games, and for the most of it, there were some unexpected games, which is quite nice. I don't kind of like it when it kind of falls into play, and we saw some great underdog stories, that's what I'd say. I mean, it was nice to see Wales and Iceland really come out of the pack and really show that you don't have to spend millions and billions to make a conquering team. Team spirit does you well.
Yeah. Dave?
I'm going to miss Wales being good in a tournament. I really enjoyed that. I've been going to miss...
You're going to miss that Will Griggs, aren't you?
No. I don't think anyone's going to miss it. It'll never be heard again.
I think it will be. Heard in every bloody ground in the country. I suspect you'll be singing it in less than a month's time with a different name.
There is a guy Cobb signed. That'll be pretty singing about him.
Marvin Sordell's on fire.
Yeah, the thing is, now pre-season has started again and actual football's happening, I'm not going to miss the Euros that much at all. It's finished. Proper football's back on, so that's fine.
Yeah, so when I asked you what you will miss, you said nothing.
That's
Wales. Wales doing well in the tournament. That's not very... You don't think that'll happen again?
No. Not enough for 2 years.
Good luck in qualifying then, Dave.
Have you seen the Wales group? It's bloody awful.
We've got Scotland in our group. So.
We've got Republic of Ireland in our group. Martin O'Neill, so...
I've never heard a Welsh guy confident about a qualifying group, Dave. So I think that's a dangerous sign.
I'm looking forward to seeing Conte in the Premier League. There's just that brilliant moment when the ball came to him and he just booted it in the crowd. That was probably one of my favourite moments of the tournament, I know.
I actually when he left on the dugout as well. He's good.
Ad, what about you?
Well, I'm going to miss an authentic Icelandic thunderclap because obviously we were in with the Iceland fans when we went to watch them against Portugal and absolutely loved it. First time I heard the thunderclap. But now, of course... it's clearly going to be going around the grounds now this season and not going to be the same, and it's just going to be a poor imitation.
Well, apparently it originated from Motherwell.
Yeah, Scottish, isn't it, apparently? Although, you don't really hear it. Iceland and Motherwell.
Yeah, maybe they're twins.
A country with a small town in Scotland.
Well,
could be.
Probably similar population.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Well, what else apart from the thunderclap are you going to miss? That was awesome, though, being part of the thunderclap.
I don't really know. I mean, I certainly miss expensive
United
beers
fashion.
And bugs for no reason.
United Passions, do you miss that?
I don't think I could ever miss United Passions. but yeah, at the same point, I don't think my hatred will ever be forgotten. due to the awful hatred of the English. But having said that, I bet I'll probably end up watching it again before my life is over, so...
I'd love to think of you with a gun in your mouth, just thinking, what do I do?
So depressing.
I think I'll miss miss not trying to work out what French commentators are saying, where the stand-up moment was box to box, coast to coast.
I'm going to miss that game that they had, like, that was a bit like Question of Sport at the end. I missed that. It was just farcical at the end of the games where they had all the old footballers just having a laugh and a joke.
Is that farcical?
Oh.
it's exactly what we do. Apart from we sit our lads nearer together on the same table.
It seemed like a game show where they buzzed in and Desse just laughed at his own comedy.
I'll also miss as well, actually, is that I found, ever since we've come back to the UK, I've not been as excited by the Euros as I was in France. I think when you're over there, you're kind of swept up in everything. It's fan party, it's fans. When you're back in, it's not quite the same. You know, if you watch on TV, you don't get the same kind of feeling of like community of being around other football fans who are massively into it.
You also have to go to work, which is the big depressing thing.
Another thing I actually realised that I'm going to miss is sound bites of that fun Icelandic commentator gets far, far too excited whenever Iceland do well.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like it's one after they beat England. Sort of went on a rant which is reminiscent of the Norwegian lad and the whole Maggie Thatcher, your boys took one hell of a beating, when he's just saying something on lines of leave Europe, go anywhere, we're going off to the Stade de France.
Well, he actually lost his job, you know, that guy.
Yeah, but
really?
his football job, not his commentating job.
Yeah, not his commentating job, his other job. And in between the Asia game, when he obviously became famous, and the England game, when he came out a bit, as just mentioned, he actually lost his job in football. So, not a happy story.
Anyway, do you think we've kind of covered the next question, which is what we won't miss?
I've got a good one.
I've got something different.
I think I am going to and not going to miss at the same time the David Guetta song, just because it was everywhere and it reminds me of France now.
No.
And they used a little sound clip when they were cutting it, when they wouldn't have the halftime analysis in France. So yeah, just hearing that. Oh, and also Portaloos. Every time I've been in a Portaloos since we've been back, I kept thinking I was going to walk back out into the St Etienne fan park, which I think was the nicest fan park we went to.
I like the swell as well, but that toilet was overflowing. It was unsanitary.
Important stuff.
So come on then, Ad. You sounded really confident and sure.
So what I won't miss is ITV's football coverage.
Well, that's not going anywhere.
I've never forgiven them for the infamous Brian Moore, do you back him to score, Kev, David Batty incident against Argentina. But things they never learn. They don't help themselves. So the commentators this year, the ex-pros, we've had Hoddle and Andy Townsend back from the dead, and they've been an absolute shambles. I've got some beautiful quotes here.
Of course, he's got some quotes.
Hoddle, here we go. We have to football our way in now in a footballing way, because they've got all footballers out there at the moment.
But I remember Ray Wilkins said that Hoddle called a couple of games perfectly, so maybe that was true.
It's the idea of Andy Townsend back from the dead, in fact, some kind of zombie Andy Townsend.
I thought they got rid of him, and suddenly he's back there again, spouting. He had a little look at the goalkeeper, but if they guess right, they go the right way.
He's on gardening leave because he signed like a multi-decade deal or something, didn't he? Probably.
You know,
Hoddle day for you. Players have to remember what they need to remember out on the pitch. Yeah. Very insightful.
Yeah. You're not backing Hoddle for England manager then?
No, not really.
I think if you saw, they released the viewing figures for the final, and 10 point something million. Watched it on BBC, and less than 2 million watched it on ITV.
You would, though, wouldn't you? Because of adverts. I'd always pick them anyway, even if it was...
Well, then their coverage is crap as well, as Ad said. Go on, Mike.
Quite simply, a tournament being on that we're not in, I won't miss that. I hate that, when you're out of a tournament, and then you... Like, I do like there being football on, but it frustrates me that you can't really get as into it when you're out. And I know that's a bit feverish, isn't it? And we don't do that well, but just the frustration of just that... Two more weeks of stuff to watch where you've got no say and you're already at home. Wayne Rooney's on a holiday and Dele Alli's Ibiza or something, and you're just like, oh, God, won't miss that bit of the tournament. So the better we do, the less of that there is, obviously. So I won't miss that, though. Glad it's over for that.
Okay, Dave, what won't you miss? Although it seems you never liked it, so I'm confused. Also, we need to expose you for not watching the final.
Yeah, a graceful David Clare.
But that actually does link into one of the things I won't miss, which is Portugal were bloody boring at all stages of the tournament. From start to finish, they were dull, they were uninspired, they weren't fun to watch.
Yeah, but why should they, you know, if they've got a game plan that works?
That's fine, but at the same time, it doesn't mean I have to watch them either. If they're really boring, I'm not going to spend at least 90 minutes plus extra time, which you know is coming, watching a dreadful game of football. So I'm not going to miss them, and also I'm not going to miss going to the bar and having to check whether the beer I'm about to buy is 0.5% tap or actual real beer.
That was a gauntlet we all ran through, Dave.
Yeah. When I've been watching the games and you can see people in the stands holding those pints, I just think to myself, you absolute mug.
Yeah, but we had that similar effect when we were in Portugal in 2004. It was not a solid beer.
It felt with this one like a trap, though, because it looked exactly the same. And a very, very small writing would say, 0.5% beer. And then you pay like €6 for it and just sort of beer.
That's why you had to get really smashed in the fan park.
Is that everyone covered with what they won't miss?
Hold on. I won't miss Roy Hodgson looking like he's lost his keys. Just sat on the bench, just completely lost. Do you know, like when you'd see your granddad and you knew he was looking for something and he just keeps looking around and then sits down and then just gives up?
Well, it ties back into the early episodes when me and Mike were talking about him being like someone from an old folks home.
I hope they've taken him out the back and shot him. Look, you talk about Glenn Hoddle commentary. Imagine what Roy Hodgson's like on commentary.
I don't mind Roy Hodgson, but that press conference was annoying where he came down and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing here the next day, to be honest. I was like, you've got a good idea, surely. You have to explain what's happened there a little bit. Really annoying.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, where was that?
That's everyone, yeah? Okay, so best moments. What was your one, go around really quickly, one sentence, your best moment. Mike?
Beating Wales in the last minute.
Dave?
Robson Carney scoring that goal against Belgium.
Ad?
Sturridge winner in the last minute against Wales.
Same as Mike's. Stan?
Yes!
Well, come on, it has to be. We didn't have anything else to cheer about.
It's our only win.
Yeah,
our only win.
Stan?
Ad thinking that Nader Cherry was related to Mungo Jerry.
Big moment of the tournament.
I've got to say the atmosphere. Yeah, Wales, probably Kanu. Yeah, Wales doing Belgium.
Okay, I think I'm going to say being there and meeting all the great people, just all there for the same reason and the right reasons.
That's not a moment. You've got to say one moment.
One moment in time. That's what you've got to do.
Keep singing.
One moment in time.
I think.
6 seconds away.
Star Wars this best moment.
I think I'm going to go for the Northern Ireland win then against Ukraine, just for being there in the Northern Ireland end where all their fans just went absolutely crazy. And the new format gives the little teams that chance to have that moment and go home as heroes.
It was nice that moment me and Chris were stood in the crowd and that Albanian guy politely set off a flare. That was a funny moment. It's a great photo, though. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good photo.
Well, I'm afraid it's come to that moment. That dreaded,
moment. What about the new crash? What about our new crash?
Well, you can do it, but I've crossed it out because we're running out of time.
Okay.
But who do you fancy, Mike? Go on, Dallas. Tell the world.
Well, no. Can I have someone else go first? Because I'm embarrassed that. It might just be me.
Yeah, I think it's just you.
Okay, let's move on.
Mike, just say it and we'll ask no questions.
Ramsey.
Really?
No questions.
That was a statement, really. Exclamation mark, not question mark.
Sounded a bit like, okay.
Okay, so it's the dreaded moment now. It's the dreaded moment where Dave will attempt to beat Ad and steal from Mike in his game show. Dave, are you there?
Right, yes. It's a game, basically. It's very similar.
I'd hope it was a game.
Hang on, sing your intro. Sing your intro.
May be good, it may be bad, but there's no fucking way that it's worse than Ad's.
Oh, what's it called? Is that what it's called? That...
It's called Who Am I?
I imagine if it was on TV, it would be on Channel 5 and presented by Suggs.
I tell you what, Stan, if it was on TV, it'd be the Who Am I goes
to gold. I hope it's not 30 minutes long either. No offence to your game day.
Here's how it's going to work. I've got a series of clues about a player who was at the Euros this year. The more you get a score between 0 and 5. The more clues you need, the less points you get.
Great.
Have you got a pen and paper ready, Dave, to total down our scores?
Yes.
He has.
Are we doing
it
in turns, or are we beeping him?
It's in turns. Sam, I'm going to go first. Give me a number between 1 and 8.
8.
Are these all equally difficult to get, do you think, Dave?
Yes.
Okay.
If I guess wrong, do I lose?
No.
Dave's not thought about that possibility.
Make it up as we go along, yay.
One guess per clue.
Alright.
First clue is that aside from football, my first love was track and field, with the 10,000 metres being my favourite event. While my classmates would go to school by bus.
Neil Taylor.
No. I'm known for my heading ability and stamina, which made me one of the best box-to-box midfielders in the Belgian First Division. and resulted in me winning the Ebony Shoe in 2008, an award given to the best player of the season of African descent.
Ebony Shoe.
During my debut season in England, I was booked 10 times in my first 17 games, and I only avoided a long suspension by having a personal hearing with Keith Hackett, where I said, oh, I promised to behave myself.
keep going, Dave. Put him under pressure.
It's not Ben Tucker.
No.
I like the way the clues don't necessarily get easier. They're just an obscure fact.
Well, he's Belgian, of African descent, and now he's a thug in England. That's three good clues.
Okay.
And no guesses.
Three matches by the FA in 2012 after I headbutted Ryan Shawcross during a game against Stoke.
I don't know the Belgian team, actually.
Final clue. I've got a stupid afro.
Oh, Fellaini.
It's Marouane Fellaini.
I should have got him, mate.
You get 1 point. Chris Webb.
Hard to beat.
Number between 1 and 7.
4.
Excellent news. Right.
Oh, good choice.
I'm second cousins once removed with Morrissey, and I'm also noted for my singing skills.
Jeff Hendricks.
No.
A stern no from Dave.
I'm now a former Miss Ireland contestant, Claudine Palmer, in the year 2005.
Keep going, Dave. Put me under pressure.
I was involved in a training ground fight with Edgar Davids in 2005. But we made up publicly and were seen encouraging each other on the pitch.
Robbie Keane.
Yes. You get 3 points.
Hey!
Great score.
And Robert.
Yeah.
1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 5. Okay. My middle name is Shaquille. I was born in the Maverley district of Kingston, Jamaica. And when asked about whether I'd like to play for Jamaica, I said, when it comes to that decision, that is when I'll decide. If Jamaica calls, why not?
I already know who this is.
Ad? No?
I don't know, Dave.
In 2014, Barcelona midfielder Xavi said that I was good enough to play for the La Liga club, praising my physical and technical qualities. Despite costing a vast sum of money, I failed to feature in any of the most effective performers lists of last season. I was considered one of the worst signings of the season.
Edda?
No, I was fucking shit for England and everyone in the country hates me.
Is it Raheem Sterling?
Yes, it is. You get
1 point. Yeah, 1 point.
Mike.
Yeah, okay. Avoid naught. That's what I need to do. Go on, what have we got?
1, 2, 3, 6 or 7?
Ah, 6. 6, I know, for sure.
6 is one of my personal favourites.
Oh, God, okay.
Despite playing the Euros this year, I was actually born in Brazil.
Okay. Carry on.
My unusual real first name, Kepler, is a homage to the famous astronomer Johann Kepler.
Kepler. Carry on.
On the 21st of April 2009, I was involved in an incident with Getafe CF's Javier Casquero. I brought down the midfielder in a penalty area and I was sent off. I then proceeded to kick him twice, once in the shin, his lower back. When I was pulled away from Casquero, I also pushed his head into the turf and stamped on him several times. I struck another player and was received a 10-game ban, ending my season.
Karen.
I was also involved in another incident. After one away draw against Villarreal, when I was booked and Real Madrid had pinched 9 players, I confronted the referee in the locker room, saying, "What a rip-off, motherfucker." 2 days later, I was suspended for 2 more games.
Good.
I'm an exceptionally unpopular defender for Portugal, and I share the same name as the cartoon skunk.
Oh, Le Pew. Pepe Le Pew.
Pepe.
Pepe.
Oh, he's called Pepe Le Pew.
I was about to whittle it down from Pepe Le Pew to Pepe there. It was the good news.
Right, Pepe.
Pepe, God. Yeah, of course, God.
At the end of round one.
One? Round one?
Yeah. Two rounds. Chris Webb, as the leader, you get to pick the next number. 1, 2, 3, or 7.
Surely as the leader I'd go last.
No, it's your prize for being so good.
Oh, 7.
7, excellent choice. My mother, Stella Maria, was a discus thrower, and my father, Adriano, was a weightlifter. But athleticism runs in my family.
Is that it?
Yeah, carry on.
That's a bit of an addition you've done there, Dave. Oh, so athleticism runs in my family.
No, that's taken from Wikipedia.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I'm also known for my charity work. In addition to my many charitable endeavours, after every match, I auction off my personalised captain's armband for charity.
Chiellini.
No. While at Parma, my decision to wear the number 88 shirt caused controversy. I claimed to be unaware of the number's neo-Nazi connotations, stating 88 represented 4 balls, which is symbols of character and attributes of a person. After keeping a clean sheet in the second leg of the Champions League quarterfinal against Monaco, I overtook Dida as the goalkeeper with the fourth highest number of
Gigi
clean
Buffon.
Sheets. Buffon, for you.
Is number one still available, Dave?
1, 2, 3.
I'll have one, please.
Excellent. Despite having a name that's become famous in this tournament, no one knows my real first name. It's Thomas.
Well, that's unfortunate, isn't it?
I got my league debut after bad news Brendan Rodgers saw me scoring a hat-trick against John Sledge's IF in just 28 minutes in the first game of a pre-season tour of Sweden in 2008.
Is it Joe Allen?
No. I got my international clearance when Brian Flynn was visiting my club to look at Simon Church, and I told Flynn that my family went to Tenby on holiday on route to my grandmother in Caerphilly, and Brian Flynn asked if she was Welsh. She was.
Ashley Williams?
No. I'm the next word in this song lyric. Ledley Davis, Taylor Richards.
Boy, it's like I've been listening to that song.
I scored the best of the tournament according to BBC voters against Portugal. against Belgium.
Oh, bloody Robson Kanu.
Hal Robson Kanu, or Thomas Robson Kanu, as is his real name. But you're out, I basically suck. Mike.
So I got 2 points. Great.
Mike, 2 or 3?
3, please. So to beat Chris, I have to get it straight away, really, don't I?
You have to do very well.
Okay.
There's this clue in the year coming up here, because I forget this man played in the tournament. After a severe injury to my ankle in 1996, medics at PSV declared me unfit for professional football.
Do I know this?
Go on, Karen.
In 2003, I admitted to a gambling problem, confessed to having lost £400,000 in casinos over a 5-month period.
Gambling problem and a bit older. Ooh, I'm automatically thinking of the Irish team. Probably to keep. What about someone like Ibrahimovic?
I'm afraid it's not.
You wouldn't have had a gamble, maybe. Yeah, go on, Karen.
Your next clue.
Yeah.
I was the first player to play a game, in the same international game, as my father. However, we never didn't appear on the pitch at the same time, because the president of RFA, who later owned West Ham United, gave the coach an express order not to play us together, because he wanted the first time it would happen on home turf. But unfortunately, an injury meant I wasn't available for that game.
God, that's a long play. No idea. Keep going, Dave.
Yeah. I knew it from the first one.
On the 5th of July 2015, Tiny Super League club, Chisholm Everbright, announced they signed me in July 2015.
Oh, I'm very poor at this. I should name these things.
Clue.
Go on.
I've played for many English clubs, including Bolton Wanderers, Chelsea, Tottenham Hotspur, Bolton Wanderers again.
Oh no, tell me.
And no points for you, Mike. 0 points for me.
Tyler Johnson.
Wow. God, I didn't know most of those facts, especially that I had a gambling problem.
Replaced.
I was born in Gidland, Kosovo, the Kosovo Albanian parents.
Martin Skrtel.
I'm a Muslim who celebrates Christmas and cannot play during games.
Eden Hazard.
Nope. While playing for Basel's youth team, I competed in the under-15s Knight Cup 2007 and was named best player of the tournament.
Shaqiri?
Let's have a look, because the next clue, Stan, is when asked whether my bicycle kick against Poland was the best goal of my career. You don't know me very well, obviously. I always score nice goals.
Oh. Get confident.
There, Stan. Last place, I'm afraid, is Mike Wilkinson with 1 point.
Fair.
Actually, so joint last. Mad also only got 1 point.
No, I got 2 points.
I've got two. It's my attitude. So surely same deducted 1 point.
Yeah. 4 points, but the winner,
well-deserved,
Chris Webb, 5 points.
Okay, what's my
prize? Approval.
What's my prize, Dave?
It was all right.
Yeah.
Are you going to sing yourself out, Dave?
It may have been good, probably bad, but still it was better than that.
Oh, nice. Nice different tune at the end.
Please, yeah, get out. Get out a slide, Eric.
Background, by the way.
What are you saying about dogs?
Well, dogs, I thought.
Children
in the background as well.
Wow, dogs. Children and dogs.
Yeah.
But very thorough, Dave. I'm impressed.
Thank you. It took me a lot of time this evening, not at work.
There we go. Well, that's it. The last game show on the last episode of Kane's Bones and Automobiles. That's it. There we go. So what if England were rubbish and Wales were brilliant and all the rest of it? I think it was good. We enjoyed ourselves, I think.
Six
Euro beers, a bit of rain, but lots of lovely smiley faces and a couple of overexcited Albanians. And that was
it.
That
was nearly right about Northern Ireland winning it.
It wasn't.
They snuck through for a moment. Yeah. As near as any of us, apart from Portugal.
So yeah, there we go. Thank you to all of you poor souls who have bothered listening to us, and even some of you who contributed. Hopefully it's been entertaining and not too horrible. And remember, Ad believes that Nana Cherry is related to Mungo Jerry. Take that forward in life. From me, thank you so much. It's been great. Thank you, guys. Mike?
Yes, have a lovely couple of years to the next one. And yeah, cheers. Have a nice day.
Dave?
Thank you for listening. It's been a pleasure for you.
Modest.
did your fingers go? It's been a pleasure. you were swearing.
Stan?
Cheers, everyone, for listening. And another big shout out to Dirty Bob Lark for doing your wonderful music.
Absolutely. You're going to hear that one more time. We're also going to squeeze in the other two of Dave's letters to professional footballers from his childhood at the end of the episode. So stay tuned for that. Ad,
that's like a secret track. Amazing.
Ad, incredibly, the last word has come down to you. Ad, sign us out.
It's been emotional. It's been a roller coaster. We didn't ride right off the boat at home. Good luck, Big Sam.
On that note, that's us, Kane's Bays and Automobiles. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for Dave's letters. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Au revoir.
Arrivederci.
Dear Mr. Robert Lee, my name is David and I am 11 years old. I'm a really, really big fan of Newcastle and you're my most favourite player. And I would very much like it if you can please sign the poster of what I got from 90 Minutes magazine. And if you could answer some questions for me, please. How did it feel to score on your England debut?
Fantastic!
Lots and lots of Newcastle love, David, aged 11. Dear Derek Mountfield, my name is David and I am 11 years old. I'm a really, really big fan of Carlisle and you are my most favourite player and I would very much like if you can please sign a poster of you what I got from 90 Minutes magazine. And if you can answer some questions for me, please. Who do you prefer, Crash Test Dummies or Crowded House?
I don't listen to either group.
Can you see yourself playing in the Premier League with Carlisle?
We've got a very ambitious chairman, so I don't see why it can't be done.
Lots and lots of luck, Carlisle love, David, aged 11.